Oh, they spoke of people wanting and needing to repent of sin. But they found that their sin could only be repented of and paid for because someone died for them. It's strange. Everybody has a solution for the world's problems. Everyone has a solution for their own life's problems. Something comes into your life and gets you all bothered and you're concerned. And say, well, here's what I'm going to do. And you make up your mind and you do it. I wonder how it's working out for you. You find that your life is still a bit of in shambles, that the decisions that you made in life weren't all that good. I look out into a congregation and I'm looking at faces filled with broken relationships. Relationships that you thought would never be broken. Yet they are. I see some of you sitting out there with problems in your life that you don't know how to overcome. And instead of turning to the one who can help, you continue to turn to your own self and you continue to work things out on your own. And you say, well, I'll get through it. And so you go to one counselor after another counselor. You go to one financial institution after another financial institution. You try to work things out the best that you can. But you still struggle. I wonder where you are in the dreams of your life. Have you ever had dreams of your life? You ever dreamed, what did you want to do when you grew up? You know? What did you want to be when you were a kid? You know what I wanted to be when I was a kid? I was a really young kid when I wanted to be this. I'll never forget, my uncle ran the local funeral home. And I was sitting in his office one day, and he said, Dave, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, Uncle John, I want to be an engineer. And Uncle John said, that's a fine vocation. That's very good. You got to be good in math. I didn't have the courage to tell him I didn't want to be that kind of engineer. I wanted to ride the trains, man. That's where I wanted to be. That's where I wanted to be. Well, my goals and desires changed since then. And I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt, I am doing exactly what God wants me to do. I am living my dream. I have a chance to sing. I have a chance to speak to people. I have a chance to encourage people to turn from their life of where there's no purpose and no direction and seemingly an endless rut of wrong decisions and say, look, will you try to trust Christ? Will you turn your life over to Jesus? Because I truly believe that Jesus is the only answer for any cotton-picking problem you're going through today. We said goodbye to a good friend Friday night. You know what? I wonder if his life worked out the way he thought it was. And I think it did. I think he made a difference for Jesus. I know he made a difference for Jesus. How about you? How's your life working out? How many of you, when you grew up, did you want to say, I want to be homeless? Anyone? Okay. Any one of you. Did anyone have a dream when you were growing up? I want to be addicted to drugs. Anyone? Anyone? I want to be out of work for great periods of time. Anyone? I want to be divorced. Sign me up. Anyone?
Yeah.
Okay, mark that off the illustration. Okay. That'll be used as an illustration later, I'll tell you that right now. But you didn't grow up, Mike, thinking, when I get married, I'm going to divorce. After you got into it, you said, yeah, get me out of here, get me out of Dodge. But see, that's the whole thing. You know, we have made so many plans for ourselves that just don't work out, do they? I mean, when you grew up, you probably dreamed about living in a nice little home with a white picket fence, or you lived about living on the beach somewhere in a nice little bungalow. You know, all of us dreamed about living in a lap of relative ease and luxury, didn't we? How you doing? Struggling, man. Struggling to make ends meet. Got to pay the bills. Got to buy the car. Put gas. Buy insurance. And then I'm sick on top of that. And now I'm in debt for my illness and my sickness. But at last, there's hope. The government's going to see me through. They've got a health care bill now. And I've turned it political. Don't mean to do that. But someone will take care of me. Right? Where are your dreams now? You see, very few of us ever live our dream. Very few of us ever get a chance to say, yep, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a good person to marry. I'm going to find a good steady job. I'm going to make enough money so I can raise a few children. And then when the children grow up, I'm going to be able to put them through college and they'll have lives of their own and they'll come to visit me and I'll go to visit them. And then I'll retire to Florida where the Lord is just waiting to take me home. Doesn't work out quite that way, does it, folks? I want to let you know something. Jesus is the only one who can help you through that. In fact, I will read a verse of Scripture because in Acts chapter 4, I'm going to rework some of this for you as we've already covered it in the past, but let me just go again. At Acts chapter 4, it says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John as they were speaking to the people. Now, Peter and John had just healed the cripple laying outside the gate. And they seized Peter and John, and because it was the evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and a number of the men grew and about 5,000. Now, the next day, the rulers and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, as with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. And they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power, by what name do you do this? Caiaphas, John, Alexander, the high priest. Remember, just 50 days ago, a little better than 50 days ago, they had Jesus in front of them condemning him to death. It's the same Caiaphas. It's the same high priest. It's the same guys that were in charge. And now they're finding disciples that are still proclaiming this message and the power in the name of Jesus. Look at Peter when he said in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked now how he's been healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Verse 12, for salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by to men by which we must be saved. And that is the whole crux of any message that is ever preached about salvation, about Christ. It is because Jesus gave his life on a cross that we are saved. And only that name. I want to tell you something this morning and remind you that the invitation to heaven is inclusive. God will accept anybody into heaven. That is true. Heaven's invitation is open to you today. But it's also exclusive. Because heaven, though it wants to include everyone, for God has no pleasure in seeing that anyone die. God takes no pleasure in seeing a person go to hell. But it's His intention that all men should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is His goal. And so He says, come on. But it's exclusive in this. Only those who put their faith alone in Jesus Christ as Savior can get in. It's the password. It's the thing that you have to do before you get to the gate, before you get to heaven, before you die. That decision must be made now, before you die. Okay, how many here know when they're going to die? Nope. Oh, see? Okay. No one knows when they're going to die. Are you ready? When you get there, it's too late to say, let me think about this. It's too late to say, well, me and the guy upstairs have an understanding. We're cool. I want to let you know what the guy upstairs understands. He understands that you're a sinner who hasn't made things right with him yet. Because if you had, you would never address him as the guy upstairs. You would never address him as the big guy, the man. You would address him as Lord. Because it is only by His good grace that you are alive today. And if we have breath today in our life, as we sit here, it is by God's pleasure, not because you are entitled to life. It is because God said, I'm going to give you another day. Make the most of it. Are you making the most of today that'll lead to eternity? It's Palm Sunday. Jesus is now riding on the colt into the city of Jerusalem. And the people are yelling, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And they are celebrating because they believe that Messiah is coming. They've heard Him tell them that He was Messiah. He's declared it in front of them. And they are anticipating this great overthrow of Roman rule and government and to establish righteousness in Jerusalem. That is what they are expecting as He rides in on the colt. And Jesus said, you know what? You've got a plan that is totally different than mine. Take a look at, I think it's the 28th verse of chapter 4. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Well, who did? Well, Herod, Pontius Pilate, together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel and the whole city, they conspired against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, and they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should be done. When Jesus died on the cross that day, it did not take God by surprise. It was His plan. God worked His plan. And His plan was to allow His Son to die for you today. We observe the Lord's Supper today because the Bible instructs us that as often as you eat and drink this, you do it in remembrance of Me. Remembrance of the life of Christ. Remembrance of the fact that He was crucified. But the power of Christ's death is that He rose again. And we celebrate that every week when we meet on Sunday. Next week we'll celebrate it too. It's Easter. The resurrection of the Lord. The music will be more upbeat. Things will go along just fine. They'll go along a whole lot better in the joy of the music. Right now, the music is kind of somber. It's kind of solemn because death is like that. Death gets you to thinking, what happens when I die? I'll tell you what happened when Jesus died. He gave you the opportunity to live, if you are open to it. You see, there was a father one day who took his children to watch the lamb. And I'm going to sing that for you, Tom. Will you cue that up? Watch the lamb. Walking on the road to Jerusalem. Yet you loved us. We are sinners and unholy, yet you loved us. And we receive these elements that represent a body that is broken and blood that was shed. Thank you for the breaking of your body and suffering the ravages of sin so that we would not have to. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the deacons if they would. Come, you guys, help yourself to them. Thank you. And they're going to distribute the bread that represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Go ahead, start. And as you take it, hold it just a minute. This is for those who just really know Jesus as Savior, just so you know that. This is something that only we share, because we've shared in that broken body. You hold it, and because we've all come to know Jesus Christ at different times in our life. Yes, we've come through the brokenness of His body, but just hold it until and you can eat it. I'm sorry, you can eat it at any time you want, because we've come to Jesus Christ at different points in our life. Some have come as children, some have come as adults. So as you take it, eat it at your convenience.
Represents that blood that was shed. I'm going to ask you to hold this and until everyone is concerned, and we'll bring this together. Because though we came to those Christ at separate times in our lives, we've all come through the same way, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. So please hold this. We've seen images of that portrayed in film, and maybe as we've read it through scripture. And it is sometimes impossible to, I guess, to put in the words, in the pattern, all that took place for you to die for the sin of the world, the sins of us. And though we've come to know Jesus at separate times in our life, we've all come to know you the same way. And it has not been through the denomination of a church. It has not been through doing good. It has not been through any exercise of righteousness that we have done. But it has all come as a result of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. and knowing that only you provide salvation. We believe that. And by taking this blood, we attest that today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. There's no place in your seat to dispose of that. It's just kind of cold, it wouldn't it? And I'm going to ask the others if they would to go back and they'll get a garbage can at the doors and make sure the other way to dispose of it. The Bible says they sang a hymn and they left. So let's sing a chorus today. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Sing it again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings the song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Thank you for coming this morning. Before you go, we're going to have one last closing prayer, and I want you to remember the following families, please. Virginia Mobley suffered a slight stroke this week. She is home, recuperating well, but is under the care of a therapist and will need help to get her left side working again, just as we should. Campbell, baby Campbell, is, I asked you before, but Myrtle, I can't remember how old. 9 months old. Weighs 14 pounds, and battling with cancer, and they had to take him back to the hospital again last evening. So please remember Campbell in prayer. We took Pam to the emergency room this morning. She has what we think the beginnings of shingles. We don't know that, but started to break out last night on her forehead, and is just she thought was going into her eyes. So she's getting some work done. And then Harry Barrett has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He was told last evening that he may have days or weeks to survive. And so if you would, remember Harry and Betty in prayer as you go out today. Father, it's a sad note when we talk about people that are sick and dying We pray for them, because even though Campbell's recovering from cancer, he's still struggling to live. Infection one after the other. Thank you that you've spared Virginia's life and that with therapy, it seems as though she'll be doing well. Pam is just one thing after another with her. And I know that for her, it gets discouraging. But this is just one more page in her life that you've taken her through by grace, and we'll just see what you do as a result of it. But it's a big step in Harry's life, as he's, you know, not many of us know when we're going to die. And even at the fear of death, even though we don't know when, we always fear about how. Well, Harry doesn't know when, but he does know the how. And I pray that you will help him to face this with confidence and trust in you, and that you will cause him to be strong through this, as well as Betty, that you might be their comfort and their encouragement, and that we might be with them as a church and assist in just any way that we can. We thank you today for our brother Steve, who allowed us to use his flowers to brighten up this occasion for the Lord's celebration of his death. But also, we know that eventually these flowers will die. But those who put their faith and trust in you will never die. And we celebrate that, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord. And we give you thanks for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.